What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, May 14, 2019. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
I'm good for a Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah.
How's your Tuesday?
I've been better, Fran.
Yeah.
I've been better for one specific reason, and I need to talk about this on camera.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's very important. All right. You may have seen this in Game of Thrones in review already.
Okay.
Okay.
I got the worst haircut of my life.
Yeah.
Are you, and, you don't like your haircut?
Dude.
It's really the sides.
So the problem was there was a language barrier situation going on.
Okay. Okay.
And Supercuts has never failed me.
Oh, Tim.
Supercuts.
Until now. Because it's always so great. I paid for the fancy haircuts places. And
it's never not worth it for you.
Never worth it. Mm. I'm never like, oh, I love this. I've loved Supercuts haircuts.
Sure.
They range usually from the 7.9 to 8.5. I'm happy with that range. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like a 4
sure.
at best. Because here's the problem. For some reason, they didn't fade on the side.
Yeah, there's no fade.
So it's this
weird.
It's a
little mushroom top.
It's a mushroom top. They shaved me like I was a little 6-year-old boy. You know what I mean? Like, it's the worst thing ever, and I can't style it any way to get rid of the problem. Normally, I swoop it over.
You're going to have to get.
But as you saw in the Game of Thrones thing, that makes me look like Hitler. Like, there's a problem going on here, man. And I'm in a standstill. I don't know what to do because I can't just get it cut again. There's not enough hair to fade.
Yeah.
I don't want to shave the sides
that's
off.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't want to shave everything off.
Yeah, you're at a standstill. But I was going to say.
Fred, this is all that I have. I have my blue eyes and my hair. I got fat. This is like my life is all falling apart around me.
Come on. Tim, you look great regardless.
Don't let it weigh on you that much. Please be nice
However,
to me.
I'm not going to let you live down going to Supercuts because it's all about consistency, Tim.
Supercuts.
But I agree with you on the cost, but this is what happens.
No, but here's the thing, Fran.
When you don't go to see the same people.
I get it.
Yeah.
And I always do.
Oh,
I always go
to the
same two Supercuts, and there's four different women that are all amazing.
Right.
I went to a different Supercuts this time than I've ever been to.
You took a chance.
Me and Gia were having brunch.
Yeah.
Eating some little brunchy brunch. I look across the street, I saw Supercuts. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go do it. Worst mistake of my fucking life.
Well, tell me this, Tim. When you get married, promise me you'll go see my guy for this. Just
your
that
guy?
Haircut. You'll splurge just once.
I won't do it just for that. I need at least two to prove that it's good.
Okay, a couple.
I'm down for that.
You won't be disappointed except with the price.
We can take this off air, but Fran, I need some help here. This is bad. This is real bad. Anyways, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday right here, 10 a.m. live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We come to you with all of the video game news that you need to know. You can get the show live on Twitch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com, or you can listen to it on podcast services around the globe. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's in the name of the show. It's a beautiful thing. If you want to be a part of the show, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free. If you're watching live, we have a very special task for you. We need you to keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we get wrong as we screw it up. That's going to be fantastic. See, the bigger problem is that my seat normally on the show is I sit here. So this is the view that they see of me. They see this fucking abomination.
Oh, because I actually think on camera it doesn't, like, it looks fine to me.
No, but not on this.
Doesn't.
Not like this.
Well, it's.
I might need to change my
cut.
Seats for a couple of these shows. Anyways.
Don't sweat it. It's going to grow back fast, Tim. It really will.
Oh, my God. Today we're talking about Mario Maker 2, a little Death Stranding, and more. A little housekeeping for you. Division 2 update has added the Kind of Funny Games Clan logo to the design menu. If Kevin wasn't a fake fan, he would have already known this. This has been in the works a long time, actually, so we're stoked to see it. Thanks, Ubisoft and Massive. Note, we've actually known for a long time.
That was Greg's note.
Yeah, that's all the stuff that I read.
That was my note. We knew for a long time. So we've known
I didn't
before.
Know.
We knew before you, Fran.
Oh,
so
he
who's
read.
The fake fan
you
now?
You didn't see it yesterday,
fake
Tim.
Fran?
They were shaming me about not like carrying him through this Division 2 mission.
Got it.
That's what I wrote that in there. And thank you for reading it.
I appreciate it. The Kind of Funny
Kevin.
The Kind of Funny Games E3 showcases June 10th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It'll be a YouTube premiere, which functions as live. So there'll be the live chat as you go through. It's cool.
Awesome.
And thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Blackjack, and Muhammad Muhammad. Today we're brought to you by Robinhood and Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much for that. Super Mario Maker 2 direct incoming.
Hell yeah.
This comes from Nintendo's Twitter. Nintendo's Twitter has revealed a Mario Maker 2 direct is coming tomorrow. So set your watches. Tune in on Wednesday, May 15th at 3 p.m. Pacific for a roughly 15-minute presentation packed with information all about Super Mario Maker 2 for Nintendo Switch. And as a reminder, at E3 2019 on Tuesday, June 11th, Nintendo will hold its Nintendo Direct at 9 a.m. and promises we'll get a look at Nintendo Switch titles for 2019.
Mm-hmm. You're the expert here, man. You're the expert. People have been asking, I swear, on every show, like, are you excited for Mario Maker 2? Should I get Mario Maker 2? Why should I get it? Because it's just making levels. But like, is this going to be a big direct? Do you're the master of directs. Do you expect a lot from this?
Well, I do expect a lot, but obviously just Mario Maker 2. I don't expect any like other announcements.
No.
Because what Nintendo normally does is they have their big directs. They have their mini directs that they call.
Where they focus have their in on something.
Nindie showcases, which are the Nindies. And then they have their single one game directs that are really kind of detailed for the fans, getting into the nitty gritty of Xenoblade or whatever the fuck, right? So for Mario Maker 2, I feel like this is a little overdue. The game comes out June 28th, so we're getting pretty damn close to it. But I like that they're getting ahead of this before E3.
Yeah,
because otherwise, I feel like they would have spent a lot of time during the E3 direct, kind of going into some of this stuff. Because right now, we don't know much. We've only gotten a 1 minute trailer for this, and then a couple little the release date announced videos in the different regions. But even though we haven't gotten much, like Game Explain, Andre went in and did like an hour and 45 minute breakdown of the 1 minute.
Oh yeah,
and frame by frame,
all this stuff
there
in
is
there.
So much in there just based on like, oh, this wasn't in the first game, and like, oh, this actually is a new tile set from this game or whatever. There's so much going on for people that were really into it like he was. I expect that we're going to get some answers to the questions I've been asking.
Yeah.
Are there going to be Nintendo-made courses? That is what I want the most from this game.
I think it's obvious that they're going to do that, right? Because that's such a big thing with the first one, right?
No.
The 3DS one, I guess.
The 3DS one is the one that had the 100 Mario challenge. So that's the thing, is like, I expect that they're going to, but it's not assured yet. I imagine that tomorrow they'll announce that. Because making the levels and downloading levels from people is fun and cool, but I feel like Nintendo understand level design in a way no one else does.
Yeah.
So I want to see what they do with their tool sets.
Did we talk about GamesCast or here? It was GamesCast maybe, which just went up yesterday. Sure, check that out. We did our most anticipated games of 2019. But anyway, we were talking about it, and for me, it is assured, because I was like, look, what I think happened when they first came out with Mario Maker, it was a great idea, but it was fast, quick shot, had to get it out the door for Wii U, right? And that it was Wii U, right? And then they had a little more time, and they're like, okay, now we can kind of make the game that we truly have time for, have it on 3DS, etc.
The 3DS one was not a good.
Well, I didn't play it, but meaning they added more sequel. They added some more in.
They took some away. It was a compromise for sure.
Fair enough.
But what they added in, I enjoyed, which was the Nintendo made Mario levels that were fantastic in all the different styles. I think that's the key thing too. Is one level will be Mario 3, and then one's Mario World, and one's Mario 1.
Black and white All Star style or whatever. Yeah.
Well, they don't have those yet.
They don't have those yet.
No. And like that's the thing is like I wonder if tomorrow we're going to get any new styles, because right now we know that the Mario 3D World style has been added to Mario Maker 2, which is great because the 3D look so far has been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, no one really loves or very few people, I should say, love the new Super Mario Bros. U style.
Yeah. I don't like love it. I don't mind it, but it's just a plastic.
I think it's most people's least favorite, but it does add the wall jump mechanic that the other versions don't have. Something I'd like to see is if they address parity across the different styles.
In terms of mechanics?
There's certain mechanics that just aren't in the other styles. And like, you can't have Yoshi in Super Mario Brothers 1, but like, why not? I feel like that'd be an easy fix for a couple of things. So I feel like those are the questions at this point that they'll answer, because they've already addressed things like slopes. They've already addressed a lot of the style issues by adding 3D World that people had with the first game. So tomorrow I expect to see some type of single player campaign announced. I feel like there's a 30 to 50% chance that we'll see a new art style, whether it's Mario Land 2 or like some Mario 64 weird.
Or like, did they have Super Mario 2 art style in the first one?
No, That would be a bit more difficult to implement just because the style of game is so different.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's the thing about the parody is if they just figure out a way to make everything kind of work enough.
Right.
And I like make some concessions, because right now the reason things don't work is because they're unwilling to make the concessions.
Right.
But if they do, then we'll be totally great for them to add Mario All-Stars, all of the different looks. Like, yeah. I wonder how deep they're going to go with this, although I wouldn't be surprised if they either didn't announce any more art styles tomorrow or announce like one more and then announce that in the future there'll be DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either way, 15 minutes, like you were saying before, it's dedicated to the one thing. There should be a lot of gameplay and pretty good breakdown. Like this, for me, when I see this as well, I'm like, this is them saying, for sure, if you're pre-ordering, we haven't told you that much, but now we're really going to give you a reason. It's only a month away, and we're ready to share that with you. And
they need
get
to
out
dive,
of the way, E3, obviously.
They need to dive into online and how it's going to work. They need to show how the curation's going to work. Mm-hmm. They need to prove that the things that are going to make this community thrive are the tools are going to be given to those people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to be the massive success that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I feel like they have all those things, the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
Yeah, I was trying to think, would it make sense if there's any kind of Nintendo Online something that goes with this? Like,
I mean, we've already kind of seen special edition packages that are going to come with a year of online.
Okay.
So that kind of implies that the Nintendo Switch Online will be required to download levels and stuff, which, whatever.
It's not that much a year, especially if you buy it annually.
The
but
family pack annually.
That would be different than in the past, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could obviously just get access without Nintendo Online. But
that's the thing, is like, if they don't offer it for free online, that is a hint to me that the campaign is going to be beefier.
Right.
Because you need that to be a full package.
Something substantial.
Something substantial just for single players. So
fair enough.
I'm excited, though. Like, I feel like this is a title I'm very much anticipating. And I feel there are just the right amount of answers that 15 or questions that 15 minutes will kind of make me feel satisfied before we go into E3. And like I said, it's good we're getting this out of the way now,
because
that means
we don't
at E3, we can just get a, remember, June 28th, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. So it's 3 p.m. tomorrow, May 15th, and then on June 11th, Metroid Prime, a bull one-hour block. Just one hour of Metroid.
Hour of Metroid Prime.
I wish. That's not what they've said.
But yeah, that should be fun. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to do a live reaction to the Mario Maker stuff. We usually don't for the one-off games. Unless
you can do it the next.
We'll cover the stuff in Games Daily for sure.
Plus, we got Gamescast.
Like, unless it's something like Smash Brothers to me where I'm like, oh, I'm going to freak out about stuff. I don't think there's any like get hype moment potential in a Mario Maker. Although, we'll see how I'm feeling. You know what I mean? We'll see how my hair is feeling. World of Warcraft Classic release date announced. This comes from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. Blizzard has announced that World of Warcraft Classic will be released for PC and Mac on August 27th, 2019, and that a collector's edition with the statue of Ragnaros will be released that celebrates WoW's 15-year anniversary. Players will be able to return to Azeroth as it was during the Drums of War update patch 1.12. It's everyone's favorite one. And all will have the honor of once again being able to, quote, assemble a 40-player raid to take on the fiery hazards of Molten Core. Fight for their faction in the ongoing world PvP struggle between Soundshore and Terran Mill. Muster a realm-wide war effort to open the gates of Anquajar and much more. Nailed it?
Dude, I don't know. I've always wanted to play World of Warcraft. We should continue the news. But I knew that pronouncing all of that in a row was going to be brilliant. You nailed it.
Following its release, WoW Classic will receive updates over multiple phases that will be released in a similar fashion to the original's order. And all of this and more will be included with existing World of Warcraft subscriptions at no additional cost. Beginning on May 15th, certain WoW players will be invited to participate in a small-scale, focused closed beta test, helping ensure WoW Classic nails its goal of authenticity. Additionally, there will be certain stress tests from May through July that will allow players to jump back into their memories of how it once was. Alongside this announcement, news that World of Warcraft will be getting a 15-year anniversary collector's edition, like I was saying earlier, the collector's edition will be released on October 8th, 2019 for $99 and can be pre-ordered from Blizzard's gear store now.
Did you get a statue, a map, a pin, a mouse pad? Wait, a map of Azeroth mouse pad, art prints, and a mount for the Alliance.
I guess that's good. If you're like lost, you can just look at your little mouse pad.
Yeah, right. Oh. Full.
We're going there.
But full disclosure, right? You're not a World of Warcraft guy.
No, I'm not. But
I've always wanted to be. It's just another time sink thing. I'm like, I can't get into this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I didn't grow up around too many PC gamers, and the ones that I did were playing Diablo or they're playing Counter-Strike, and those guys kind of went in a different path, and I feel like if I stayed friends with Mr. Diablo,
right.
he would have been Mr. Warcraft, but that didn't happen. Yeah. So I just never was around it, but then once I got to IGN, I feel like everyone there has memories growing up of playing World of Warcraft. Finnegan was addicted.
I would have been that person, and looking way back, I used to play Ultima Online, which was like OG, like online gaming. You just like go out into the forest and skin a pig, and somebody would attack you and steal your stuff, and I mean, it was amazing. Richard Garriott, right, was one of the main first dudes to do this amazing stuff, and went on to lead us into World of Warcraft. So I always wanted to play it, but I think I got a copy from Blizzard at the time, way back when it released, and I looked at it, and I was playing all these other games, reviewing, doing video at IGN, and I was like, I can't install this.
Yeah.
If I do,
it'll take over
I will
life.
Go down this path, and I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
No, you wouldn't.
Not even kidding.
No.
I would have gotten addicted to that, and probably just,
you'd be lost
knows.
In Quaraj.
Yes.
You did you play Barrett?
That time.
Fuck no.
Really?
Fuck no.
Wait, this are you against like it? Why? What are you thing. Mad about it?
No, I'm not mad. Just,
you sound like it.
Well, I'm mad that I'm being insinuated as a fucking nerd. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, geez, dude. In the comments, his name is Barrett Courtney.
In the comments.
Get at him.
Wow.
No, a lot of my friends in high school would play, but I don't know. It just never caught on to me. Like, I would hang out with them, but I would be on like a different PC playing like Portal 2 or some shit.
Yeah, I guess you were so cool.
I've always just been more like single player kind of stuff and this kind of online, like, because this is the multiple, this is the MMO, right?
Yeah.
I know there's this other shit, so I don't want to.
Yeah, Warcraft is
Warcraft is RTS, which is awesome.
No, but
too,
the thing that
way.
I think is really cool about this, though, is bringing back a classic multiplayer experience. We've seen this before in a couple ways, but like, I love the idea that they're trying to recreate the magic that people had decades ago, right?
Yeah, especially when it comes to online games. This, like, I mean, it has not been done at this scale. It's, you know, one of the biggest games ever when it comes to MMOs.
They brought StarCraft Classic back, but like, even that's a little different. That's more similar to remasters that we see.
Right.
Whereas this feels like they're investing.
A living, breathing online world.
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
So it's exciting. Yeah, it's funny. Every time I've seen this, because I'm such a big Destiny player, I've just been like, dude, if Bungie could do this and bring back Destiny 1, because that's what a lot of the players, like, there's a lot of great stuff now in Destiny 2, but you just want to go back to that world that the meta is the same, the guns are the same. They had a mode called Trials, which everyone loves, they don't have anymore, all that stuff, and just be like, I'll pay a monthly subscription fee to go back to that world. It would be a tremendous effort that they probably don't have time to support. So,
but one
like
day,
Blizzard.
One day I feel like they will, and I
maybe.
Feel like this is a hint at that, right? Like,
yeah.
Everything becomes retro at some point. And I feel like there is a nostalgia for not just games, but now experiences that people want to go back to. Like, I feel that we saw recently with Master Chief Collection after it fixed a lot of the issues that it had at launch years later. But seeing people when they added the playlists from Halo 3 or Halo 2, it's like people were super stoked about that because you get to kind of go back and play a little shoddy snipers. You know what I mean?
Yep.
See what's up.
Exactly. No, just going, there's definitely the sentiment side, but the game has evolved so much. It's so different now. And I think if you never got to get into it, and that's where I was originally going with it, it could be a really interesting place to kind of get started again and go back to as it was without feeling like you missed everything. And I also think sales of this and how this does in terms of just general reception could influence, like you're saying, others to think about this seriously.
Yeah.
So very curious. August, when is it? August 27th? Yes, August 27th is the release date. So I'm excited to check it out. I probably will hop in then just a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I can at least dabble. Now, but I already know. There's like no way. I'm already trying to keep up with too many
games.
He's
getting lost in Quaraj. I'm fucking telling you. next news story. Hideo teases new Death Stranding trailer. This comes from Janet Garcia. Which is interesting to think about timing on this one. A new Death Stranding trailer is likely set to be released soon. We just don't know quite when. Hideo Kojima posted yet another photo on his Twitter account of dual monitors with one screen displaying the Death Stranding logo and the other with some video editing software. But unlike the image we saw just 2 weeks ago, this one includes Kojima himself sporting sunglasses with his back toward both monitors. With God of War figures prominently displayed in the background and an emoji-filled caption, this tweet is a distinctly more playful tease than what we've seen before, though it still doesn't tell us anything about what to expect from the trailer, nor when we will actually see it.
Yes.
So what's interesting to me about this is teasing a trailer, they're not at E3.
Yeah, I mean, the Sony's only place, not, right? Yeah.
But they're Sony. So it's like, that's the thing, is there's nowhere else to...
Exactly. See, I'm glad to hear you say that, because we had this discussion on Gamescast, and like, I'm with you. Sony has said they're not doing officially there. But I said that doesn't keep them from releasing trailers or anything.
They've said they're not doing anything.
They said anything?
They said anything around E3. The weeks around E3 is around. What they said.
Well, then it'll be at E3 then.
At or around is what they said.
I'd have to see the quote.
And that's the thing, is like a trailer, sure, that could probably like sneak through, but why? Sneak?
Oh, yeah.
Why would they do that though? Like,
Metal Gear,
if they're not going to have a big event that like garners attention, why would you just put a Death Stranding thing out to die?
When was the first State of Play?
The first State of Play was March.
March, and then the second one was May.
So I'm imagining it's an every other month type situation. Not that we can base a pattern off of two.
I know.
But
I wouldn't be surprised by late June. State of Play.
That's way to tease this and not do anything.
It's also Kojima.
Yeah. Now, the other way to look at it, Tim, to your point, is they really are not going to be there. I got to look at this quote, exactly what they said. If they're not going to be there in any capacity and they're avoiding it like the plague now, in some kind of stance, maybe it's coming soon, you know, to get ahead of it. Like, we see this, like, you know, we just saw the reveal for Ghost Recon Breakpoint and many other things have learned to get ahead of E3.
That's third party stuff, man. Like, that there's a
Yeah, this
big
can hold its ground
there.
Anywhere it wants.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think they're worried about it. I guess my point is that is the point.
Look,
if he wants
thing,
to
though.
Do it for Memorial Day and that's a big weekend and whatever. That's fine.
I feel like with Death Stranding in particular, with the big three Sony games right now, with Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding, and Last of Us Part 2.
No release date.
Exactly. You can't just put out trailers willy-nilly. They can't just put
Kojima can.
Like, Kojima, I mean, first off, Kojima can do whatever the fuck he wants. But I'm saying, like with Sony behind him, Sony marketing controlling a lot of the decisions being made over there, you can slip a Death Stranding trailer into two places, a Sony press conference or Game Awards, right?
Yeah.
Nowhere else. Now, State of Play takes the place of the Sony press conferences, so they can put them there. However, because of the style of those things, there needs to be more news than just here's a trailer. There needs to be a release date. There needs to be some news
something to latch
coming
on
with
to.
It, right? And I feel like Square, when they just had the Final Fantasy VII Remake reveal trailer thing, whatever, not reveal, but re-reveal.
Yeah, I know.
In State of Play, the news there was that stay tuned for E3, Square Enix has a press conference.
Yeah.
We're going to see the game there, right?
Yeah, and they're going to really blow it out there, which we didn't know.
Exactly.
We didn't know
there's
that. Now we know.
There that's important and tangible. Whereas Death Stranding, it's like if they just put out another trailer, potentially revealing
another
actor.
Yeah, like here's an actor.
You can't just drop that on Memorial Day. Like, I feel like that would like gain a lot of criticism. Whereas
without having news attached,
if it's standalone, I feel it needs like a release date.
Yeah.
Right. If it's not standalone, if it's within a Sony thing, I feel like they can have a little bit more wiggle room of like, all right, well, that was just there as the glue to.
No, you make a good point. Like you can slip in. I see what you're saying. You can slip this enigmatic Kojima trailer stuff into E3 and into a game awards because like it's part of the show and it's the mystery of there's big games coming. You don't need a date attached. But on its own, yeah, I totally agree with you. It's got to be attached to something. But what if it is just the actor? Because that might be enough. If there's yet another big actor or something that they want to announce that's part of the trailer, that would be standalone enough. But a release date would be, I'm with you. I'd love to see it.
I feel it in my jellies. I'm going to say we're going to see this trailer at the next State of Play that I bet will be anywhere between June 20th and July 30th.
Man, why is he teasing if you believe it? That's over, a month and a half almost. That's crazy to tease this right now if there's nothing going on.
Japan time works different though, Frank. You need to remember
true.
That.
By the way, just to show you this, I noticed it before the show too. He tweeted again, another enigmatic teaser here. It's a photo on his Twitter. He says, trying this and that, period. This one was turned down. Thumbs up emoji, rainbow, fire, fish, umbrella, rain, laughing. He did this on the previous one. So you click on it, and some of the letters are cut off. It just says F anding. Now, I don't think he's intending to cut the letters off, but it is Kojima, and who knows? Maybe there's mystery in here. But in the background, there's like a little, what is this, like a little holster or something on an arm. I think he's just stating the background of the image for the end of the trailer or something.
I mean, I think this is just a cropped image.
It is a cropped image, yeah. I think he was showing you that this is the end credit thing or something with the image, and I'm trying whatever. I think you're supposed
Troy
to
Baker's
guess
there.
What this character is. I saw that. Did we already know Troy Baker was in it?
Yes. Did we?
I think
we did.
Yeah, right?
We did. He was, he's like what seems to be a villain in like a gold mask.
That's right. That is right, yeah.
But I think he's going to leave you to guess, like, oh, is this character, blah, blah, blah. And, you got to love him. I don't know what all the emojis are about. Like, there is some
fish,
consistency.
Fish.
But there is consistency. He did it twice now. So I don't know. He even has a tweet. Yeah, he put a tweet up of a microphone reflection 7 hours ago, now that I'm looking. And it's this is weird too, and it's missing letters. Yeah. He's definitely doing something.
Kojima's up to something, guys.
Just
headline
go on
of the day.
Go look at his Twitter. God bless him.
I'm looking at you're wrong right now. Lord Apone is saying, Tim was wrong about Sony's statement regarding E3. They never said anything about weeks around E3. Kotaku has the following, quote, as the industry evolves, Sony Interactive Entertainment continues to look for inventive opportunities to engage the community. PlayStation fans mean the world to us, and we've always wanted to innovate. I know we always want to innovate. Think differently and experiment with new ways to delight gamers. As a result, we've decided to not participate in E3 2019. We're exploring new and familiar ways to engage our community in 2019. And can't wait to share our plans with you. That's not the quote I'm talking about, but hold on. Sorry, I read the wrong thing here. Kuchiro says, Sony just said they wouldn't be doing a press conference, not necessarily not doing anything at E3. When asked if Sony would push its event offsite, similar to how Electronic Arts provides a show adjacent to E3, PlayStation Senior Vice President of Communications Jennifer Clark elaborated further, saying, we will not activate or hold a press conference around E3. Damn, that's also not what I was talking about. Damn it, I really thought you guys were going to prove me wrong.
Thought they had one.
Or right.
But you're pretty sure there's another quote where they say that they're not going to be with, you know.
I'll admit defeat.
But if that's all they could find, maybe that is a...
No, that's right. That's true. But keep looking. Yeah, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. We should actually just look at all their quotes about E3, put them in one place in succinct order, and then look them over. Maybe we can talk about it on the next Gamecast or something like that. But
thanks, friend.
What, Barrett? You don't like that idea?
Next news story, Red Dead Online introducing role-playing this summer. This one's from Cass Marshall at Polygon. Red Dead Online has announced a new surprise update today, and Rockstar also shared future additions that will be in the works throughout the rest of the spring and summer. The largest announcement here is the future addition of roles, which allow players to pick a specialization and level up that role within the frontier. It's an intriguing contrast to Grand Theft Auto Online, where players focus on the acquisition of property and wealth. Here, Rockstar has chosen to make the real progression path centered around player choices and abilities. There's a whole bunch of updates for May and June, yeah. The summer update, which is the larger content update, doesn't have an exact date announced. It's scheduled for this summer. Players will be able to progress in three roles, either by focusing on one at a time to advance quickly, or all three slowly by mixing and matching.
Yeah.
Each role will offer a different gameplay loop, along with new role-specific weapons, outfits, and cosmetics.
Yep. Yeah, and there's a new little trailer, shows a little bit. I mean, it's just interesting that, and we'll talk about it in the next story as well, that Red Dead Online is still in beta. So it came out October and still in beta. Not totally uncommon, but for a game of that size, yeah, I guess it was a little surprising. But they're sticking with it. And I tried playing it, and I didn't like it. I tried Battle Royale, but that's because I hate the aiming on console, and I want a PC version. And then I think I would enjoy the game a lot more if I could just aim correctly, especially when it comes to Red Dead Online, where you're trying to shoot other people. Yeah. You never had a chance to play Red Dead Online, did you?
I had a chance. I just said no.
Yeah, you're like, nah. I still love the vibe. You know, they're doing more stuff. It's amazing that they have more character development that continues. There's a lot in there, and players are clearly...
There's a lot.
There's a fan base.
Dude, Rockstar are... so good at innovating what online gameplay can be and what an online like living world can look like. Look at what they did with GTA Online. Mm-hmm. It is such a massive success, and they just continue to add the most ridiculous game modes. But what I love about that is Daniel O'Dwyer made that documentary about GTA Online communities and how there is a lot of role playing that goes on. And I feel like in the last 2 years, there's been a huge thing on Twitch of people playing Grand Theft Auto just to role play and kind of do that. And I love that Rockstar is looking at that and like, ooh, how can we turn that into gameplay?
Yeah.
And it feels like Red Dead is a great way to do that. And it's interesting seeing them make different choices than they did with GTA Online. It's cool. You know, it's like and it being in beta and stuff like, that's definitely a bummer. But I like that they're experimenting. I like that they have such a long tail plan for this.
They're not giving up on it. I mean,
having said that though, I feel like I don't hear about a lot of people playing Red Dead Online in the same way that I did hear people playing GTA Online.
But there you go. And we'll read about this in the next story, is the sales difference. I mean, it's just Red Dead is huge, like around 25 mil or something like that. But GTA is just massive.
Huge.
It's huge. But GTA, and we'll read about it next, is just so massive. And I know you already know that, but like when you think about, okay, it's really successful, it's big. When you compare anything to GTA, you're like, oh yeah. But yeah, on Twitch, it's pretty crazy. There's so many people that have gotten into the roleplay side. And in fact, it had a resurgence again recently with some of the updates. And yeah, I think you nailed it, which is they're looking at the success of GTA, especially when it comes to that stuff. And they're like, yeah, how do we make this work in Red Dead? And I've been getting a lot of requests actually to join a roleplay server for GTA because like people find it super entertaining. Just in terms of communities that are doing this.
Yeah, I'd love
to have it in Red Dead. I would absolutely consider going back to it, but I want a PC version. I need to be able to aim.
So the next Red Dead story comes from Eddie at GameSpot. Red Dead Redemption 2 sales are slowing. Red Dead Redemption 2 is a huge hit, though sales appear to be slowing. Take-Two Interactive, which owns developer Rockstar Games, announced today that the open-world Western has now shipped 24 million copies. That's up from the 23 million that Take-Two announced in November. Growth for the title seems to be slowing. Red Dead Redemption 2 shipped 17 million right at launch, with a further 6 coming by November. 1 million have shipped since is impressive. But it's on a slower pace than before. God, it's so funny.
Yeah.
So these numbers are just so big that, oh, it's just a million.
Yeah, only a million, which mini games would kill to sell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like big games, like successful games, let me say.
Yeah.
Like Nier Automata yesterday, they said sold 4 million. And that is like a holy shit, I can't believe this did that well.
Yeah,
that
Nier sold
lifetime.
Them is awesome. Yeah.
And a million is pretty damn good for being residual sales after 20 something.
Yeah, but that's it. Ultimately, this story is about the graph of like, man, it was just massive launch hit in October. And then it was something like 17 million copies at launch, like you said, and then another 6 million after. So sure, it slowed down, but the fact that, like, to your point, it's still selling whatever, not a quarter million every month, but ish, it's selling quite a bit of copies every month.
Yeah, so I'd be interested to see how much GTA Online is still selling, like in similar time frames.
So,
it says later that Grand Theft Auto 5 has shipped an astonishing 110 million copies, but I would like to see what that, you know, the drop off look
is,
like of how much it's selling. It's still in the top 10 every month. So it's obviously selling super fucking well.
Yeah. But there you go, right? Like, that's what I was getting at before. It's just, granted, Grand Theft Auto 5 now has been out for quite some time. But I think if we look at those two graphs, you'll see GTA probably was pretty healthy. And,
absolutely.
And then remember what they did launch online after in full, and then more and more came. And like, I'm curious if we'll see a Red Dead with a lifespan like that. I don't think we'll see it to the level of GTA because it's just such a massive effort and it's a global hit. But I do think we'll continue to see support, and it's just getting out of beta.
Well, here we go. The signs are looking good for Red Dead Online to continue to be a huge success. As Zelnick said, Red Dead Online is performing better than GTA Online over similar periods of time after release. We have very high expectations for that title going forward. This is specifically related to various engagement metrics that Zelnick did not expand on. He did also say that Rockstar learned a lot from the release of GTA Online, lessons that were applied to Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. A PC edition is rumored, but nothing's confirmed at this time. And
That was most of it, I think.
That's all
he's CEO, right, of Take-Two? Yeah.
Strauss
Zelnick. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like, people are really getting into it. Now, engagement metrics could be microtransactions, which was part of what this was about, is, well, of course you're going to support it if people are buying, you know, costumes and stuff like that. So
little horse outfits and stuff.
Horse
outfits. What you buy in that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say a saddle or a horse.
A little horse fanny pack.
Horse pack.
The Division 2 raid is imminent. The new title, Update 3, has hit Division 2, and the 8-player raid, Operation Dark Hours, is coming soon. It will be live on May 16th and offers to immortalize the clan and team members that beat it first in the game itself, promising a plaque and photo in the White House. Ubisoft dropped a new trailer for the raid this morning as well and revealed you'll have to take back Washington Airport. You'll be able to unlock exclusive gear. There's a new feature, Classified Assignments, The Fall of DC. Also new with the update, Classified Assignments are exclusive missions for owners of the Year One Pass. You can discover and complete these missions to hear stories behind The Fall of DC, as well as unlocking exclusive backpack trophies. You fucking nerds. Title Update 3 includes the first two Classified Assignments, a new apparel event, Dark Hours, starting Together with the raid release, the second apparel event will introduce new outfits, masks, emojis, and emotes, and weapon skins. So Fran, what's this do for you?
Yeah, it's, well, first of all, Title Update 3 was long in the making. This was, we've talked about it actually many times on Gamescast. Boy, we've plugged that show a lot today. I'm really proud of ourselves.
Check it out.
We always are talking about Division because it's always getting updates. But this one was a big one. Lots of changes. If you go in, Ubisoft has a really deep dive into, I mean, there's all kinds of new balancing and stuff. But as it turned out, which people didn't know as they did this update overnight, the raid, you know, there's a helicopter outside the White House and there's a timer on it now. Everybody was like, when is the raid coming? It's an 8-person raid again. That is a really amazing number. It doubles the team size over what you normally get to play. And just the missions are, they're epic, you know, the strongholds that we can do now. And so hopefully a raid with 8 people in it is pretty epic. These things are a lot of fun for Division fans. So yeah. People are very stoked for this. I've seen the population kind of go down a bit while they're waiting for this update. So this is actually a really critical moment to find out if it can bring fans back. Is it going to be the type of raid that we see from Destiny where it's so convoluted that maybe it's sometimes hard to get a team together or your power level's got to be, you know, all these games go through that because you have to grind to play this stuff. But now you got to put together an 8-player raid team. What I don't know, and then maybe they've said it, help me out and you're wrong if it's out there, can you match make an 8-person team for the raid? That is something Destiny does not allow you to do for their 6 Guardian raids. So I can't wait to check it out. It's just, we're a few days out. I feel like it was a little sooner than I personally wanted, but I'm always like playing a billion things. So I'm playing Rage 2 and I didn't finish Days Gone. But this we've been waiting for so long. So it's really big. And actually just these new classified assignments are actually, I didn't know they were coming today either. So it's actually a really big update. And after, like I said, weeks of just been all quiet on the Western Front or the Eastern Front for a while. So this is going to be a big moment for Division 2 and see what kind of legs it's got now that it's really feature complete.
So it comes out May 16th.
May 16th. I don't know if we know the exact time yet. There's a counter on the helicopter, which I don't have in front of me. But
man,
I'm supposed to do Games Daily that day, Tim.
Uh-oh.
Which I'll probably still do, but it occurs to me that I don't know if I should try to raid or not. And B, oh, I wanted to point that out is that, first of all, I don't think I'll be able to get Worlds First. It takes a lot of dedication, team members that play together a lot, but who knows? But they learned a little bit from Destiny and the hype that goes along with that. But it's pretty cool that if you and your team, they show a little screenshot in the White House of the names. It'll be your username and possibly even the photo of your character. So it's pretty cool. And it'll be in everybody's White House.
I love that.
That's really cool.
May 16th is not that far away. But Fran, if I wanted to know what was coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
Tim, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
That is correct. Rage 2, out today. PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yep.
Citus Alpha on PC. Switch. Sniper Elite V2 Remastered.
V2!
On PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. A Plague Tale's Innocence on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Rock of Ages 2, Bigger and Bolder on Switch. Figment on PS4. Blades of Time on Switch. Blades. Darkwood on PlayStation 4. Red Out on Switch. Feudal Alloy on PS4. Evil Defenders on Switch. Risk System on PC and Mac. And Sumatra, Fate of Yondi on PC. And finally, Board Quiz Adventure on PC. Does Quiz have 2 Z's?
Yep.
Yes, it does. Yep. Yes, it does. Oh, man. Some new dates for you. No new dates for you. Deals of the day for you. Rage 2 is about $50 on sale on the Walmart store online.
Yeah, it's like
that's cool.
It was 17 or 18% off or something like that. But I saw that out there. I was like, the game just came out today and they're giving some deals out there. So I would check that out. You're going to look at Board Quiz. That was the one that,
this is Board
that we
Quiz,
had to
dude.
See. Okay. I don't know that we had to look at that. Actually, Tim, a lot of people have been asking me about to go back for a sec, A Plague Tale Innocence, which I haven't had a chance to look at.
Can you pull this up?
A Plague Tale Innocence. A lot of people have been talking about this and said, check it out. I forget if it got good reviews. I know IGN just put theirs up, but I've heard good things about it is the point. Has this game been like off your radar?
Absolutely off my radar.
Same for me. So again, people were like kind of hopping in and let me see if I can find the review real fast.
Oh, cool.
It looks cool.
Yeah, look. Is that Egret?
Wait, what?
The actress? Leslie Williams? No, it's not. Why does
she keep? Okay, it looks like it's getting, yeah, like 7 to 8s. Cool. A lot of decent reviews. The vibe looks really cool, so I want to check it out. And it just, it was off my radar completely other than now, so. This is all like cutscene stuff.
Yeah.
But, I pulled up some Rad Brad's walk.
And it looks good.
Yeah, I was looking at Rad Brad's walkthrough on YouTube. Here,
oh, Rad Brad.
Rad Brad, baby. All the walkthrough king.
Now it's time for reader mail. But before we get to that, let me tell you that this episode is brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. You can view easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood's giving listeners of Kinda Funny Games Daily a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. And also, shout out to Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in sheets. It's about time for a bedding upgrade, and that's where Brooklinen comes in. You know that Greg loves his Brooklinen sheets because he talks about them all the time. They're easy to order, easy to mix and match colors to match his room, and they're so dang comfortable he refuses to sleep on anything else. Me as well. Gia had a friend over. She brought a dog over this weekend. That dog peed on the sheets.
Everywhere.
Peed on my...
Oh,
the dog
no.
did pee everywhere, but it peed on my Brooklinen sheets, and I was really upset about it because we just washed the sheets recently.
They got a lifetime warranty, though.
But that's the good thing they do. But I washed them again immediately, and that's the thing about these sheets. I've washed them so many times, and they're still just as soft as when I first got them. So shout out to them despite that dog's attempts at murder. Brooklinen's mission is simple. Make 5-star hotel quality sheets more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Brooklinen sheets are named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. And if you don't trust Good Housekeeping, what are you doing with your life? Sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. You can mix and match over 25 plus colors and patterns to make your bedroom just right. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just to you guys. You can get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all of their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off your first order and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES.
So maybe before you select reader mail, I should tell you, I just threw some in there, everything that came in. So up to you, whatever you want to choose. But
I love that.
I did.
Let's see where my heart takes us.
I did, as I'm buying you time, I did want to mention one of the Your Wrongs pointed out that, yeah, it was today's Red Dead. I think it was today. That Red Dead Online came out of beta today. I was kind of referencing that it's coming out of beta. It's already out of beta as of today. That was the big news as well. So thank you, Cash and Spencer and some other folks for writing in You're Wrong and making sure we got the record set straight. Appreciate it.
Let's see. Some of these questions we've already answered in this show, such as Brian Scola, who's pretty much asking, what do we expect from the Mario Maker 2 Direct? Let's go to David Scott. What's up, Fran and Tim? When discussing games that launch during game droughts, it's commonly said that games have a better chance of success, like stated yesterday about Rage 2. But now with the huge amount of games as a service like Division, Apex, and Fortnite, do you think that the droughts are actually helping developers? Could the games as a service games overshadow the games that launch during droughts? Personally, Rage 2 really interested me when I first saw it at E3, but now I'm so invested into Apex that I won't be picking it up.
I think it's like anything, your TV watching habits, your movie watching habits, like it's so personal to you, like meaning if you're really into sports and it's like finals for basketball, like, yeah, like it's going to interfere. I know that's sort of Captain Obvious statement here, but meaning you're into Apex. And I think with that perspective, and I could see myself there, I'm like, dude, I got no other time. I'm into Apex. So yes, overall, I'd say there's more competition than ever. And especially with games of service, there's a bigger chance that when Season 9 launched for Fortnite, that, yeah, like there's one more thing that might interfere with Days Gone or whatever it was that was releasing at the time. But in general, there's the fact is when you look at something like Red Dead, right? Red Dead 2 sells almost 25 million copies. It's massive. And so everybody wanted to avoid that when it came out because they wanted to go towards the droughts or quieter periods, right? So personally, I think game droughts or special pockets like May right now was a good time for them to release Rage 2. And maybe that's part of the question. Like, is there ever a good time to release games anymore? What's your perspective?
I mean, my thing is, you're right. And like, it is personal taste and all that. But at the end of the day, there's nothing quite like new. Like, there is a launch period.
That
there's a
smell.
There's a that new smell.
That smell
but there's
man.
Something about a game coming out that's brand new that there's a conversation around and a rush to want to be the first to play, the first to beat, the first to talk about. That I feel if you're playing Apex, no matter what they add to it, it's not going to have the same type of like interest level that Rage 2 will have when it first launches, right? Apex might be more consistent over time, but Rage 2, when it launches, is going to be the talk of the town. Let me put it this way. On Gamescast, the headline's probably going to be Rage 2 impressions or review, depending on how far people get in it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, we really like an Apex.
Yeah, you make a really good point, which is you get this bubble up effect when there's anything new, whether it was Days Gone and the mixed reviews, or there's just like this increase in attention that starts to take over conversation because we are all the same there. Like new episode of Game of Thrones, whatever, we all want to be in the conversation and it's exciting. So yeah, like that's where games in these drought periods, like they still have currency, for lack of a better way to put it. I was also looking at Google Trends, by the way, if you never do this, Tim. I'm a big fan of Google Trends. SEO, thumbnails, headlines, dude. You know how we like to do it.
VPH, baby.
Google, the VPH. If you don't know it, look it up. Anyway, if you look, actually, so Apex Legends was like huge, Rage 2, not so much, but now they're just, over the last few days, they're a little closer. And the fact that Rage 2... to the point here is coming up on Apex Legends as a search term on Google. It does say, it really proves your point, is all I'm getting at.
For those of you that don't know, VPH is a made-up thing that Fran made up at IGN that was views,
it's a fact,
views
Tim.
Per hour. But
per
like
person
how you said,
hour.
If you don't know, look it up. I just looked it up.
I never Googled it.
It does not exist. But thank the you. Internet thinks that it's the Virus del Papilloma Humano or a misspelling of HPV.
Oh, God. No, we don't want that.
God
well,
damn
you know
it,
what? 7-9 made it into the Urban Dictionary. It's time VPH makes
it. Get it in
there,
dude. Get it in
all
there.
All about efficiency of production.
Tiziano okay. Tiz writes in and says, hey, Fran and Tim, as the two biggest Nintendo fans at Kinda Funny, I'm curious to know, what was the first Nintendo game you ever played? Did that game in particular make you a fan, or was it a combination of games or specific franchise? Thank you for the shows. The little money I make streaming on twitch.tv/TizTeaches allows me to support you on Patreon. I'm happy to be able to contribute this month. Thank you.
Yeah, well,
awesome.
Check you out, Tiz Teaches.
Yeah.
Man, I was trying to remember. I'm like, what was the first Nintendo game that I ever played? Because I'm a bit torn here, Tim.
Yeah.
My vivid memory, which is like an incredible memory that many people have of the Nintendo Entertainment System. It's Christmas, and I go over to my friend's house, and in the basement, lo and behold, they got the Nintendo Entertainment System. And I was like, what? Like, at the time, I guess I had an Atari, and it just wasn't on my radar. Like, for whatever reason, between TV commercials and the UHF that I was, like, cycling through my TV dial, I didn't really know about it. And I remember going down there, and Super Mario in particular, but they had the combo pack with Duck Hunt in it. It just blew my mind. That is what I remember the most. However, part of me wants me to think that the first game I played was Donkey Kong on an arcade at a pizza shop.
Nice.
So I don't remember, and I know part of the question is, like, what was it?
Did that game in particular make you a fan?
So, like, at least to settle on Mario. I mean, yeah. Like, it made me a lifelong fan of Nintendo, and I would argue it potentially led me here today. Just that excitement and what I shared got me hooked on it for life, and here I am today. And I got into covering Nintendo. Some of you don't know this. That was my first job at IGN, and I quit college to do it. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Changed my ways.
Yeah, it's weird for me.
Do you remember?
I definitely remember. Like, my answer is Paperboy. That's technically not a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fuck, I forgot about Paperboy.
But it's not, like, that's first... not Nintendo. It's not first party or whatever. But I think most people associate Paperboy with the NES.
But I think it was. I don't remember.
Not the arcade version.
If it was, yeah. If
it was an arcade game.
It was
originally.
Already in the arcade.
It's Midway, I think, that made it. Maybe. Regardless, I wouldn't when have known I was a little kid, time. I didn't it was fucking know. Nintendo it was a Nintendo game, right? So that was the first game, first Nintendo game I played. And I call it Nintendo, even though I know it's not.
Yeah.
And I say that because I don't want to give the easy answer of Super Mario Brothers, obviously.
Yeah,
but what's funny about that, though, is the age difference, though. Because, like, I must have been playing Super Mario Brothers 1 as my first Nintendo game in 94?
Yeah.
You know?
So
I think that it's a weird cyclical thing because it was at Kevin's house. And we bought a NES with like 30 games for $20 at a garage sale, and we got home and for some reason
it was in the bargain bin.
Yeah,
already.
Dude. Oh. And we had like 5 controllers, which you don't even need on NES. Doesn't make sense. So many light guns. I'm like, what the fuck? What was wrong with these people? Like, where did they get all this shit? But we got the collection. We got both Zeldas. We got all 3 Marios. We got Ninja Turtles. We got Paperboy. Like, it was the come up of a century.
Yeah.
And we just got home and just like started playing through them all. But I feel like Paperboy was the first one
that you guys popped
that
in.
That we popped in.
Interesting.
But then Mario
like
was
you already
the one
knew
that,
about Mario though.
No, not really.
Oh, you didn't really.
Dude, I was like 4.
Okay. You know so I mean? Yeah, you were just popping stuff in. And
I was
you
4 and I had
Paperboy.
No older brothers. So it's like,
yeah.
No I was guidance. Kind of, there was nobody that I could just be like, oh, this is something in my house. But then it all happened really fast. Like, did that immediately, or what was the question? Did that game in particular make you a fan? Yes.
Yeah.
But that's also,
he's
was
got
it a combination
tattoo
of games?
On his butt cheek.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys
shout out to Paperboy. But all of them, dude, like that experience was so eye-opening. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, I love video games. And
yeah.
Here I am now.
Huh. Yeah.
But it's cool that I feel like everyone kind of has a shared experience, depending on what decade you grew up in.
Yeah.
And I feel like it all just kind of gets passed down more and more as you go down. And like, because video games have not been around that long. So it's like when I came along playing games in the mid 90s, there wasn't that much history to go back on. And I was kind of given it all at once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And especially now, like so much information is accessible to you that you could just, now what people do probably are, you know, they buy an old system and they're like best NES games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to pop in Paperboy because it's not going to be the first one pop up. So just to your point, like that shared information, they're going to know what to put in the Amiga if they go back and buy it or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I tell the story a lot, but one of the defining moments of like who I am now is the 100th issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Yeah.
It was in like 98, somewhere around there. And they did a 100 best games of all time list, which now sounds like
I remember this
something
one,
like that's every fucking day someone puts out a list. But back then, that was the first list I had ever seen of things that I cared about. And I looked at that as just, yeah, there
that
it
one?
Is.
Found
yeah.
The cover.
To this day, I still have it. Like I would read it like front to back so often just because it was like, I felt like I was learning. Like I felt like I was like studying history of video games because there was so many like consoles that I didn't even know about. Because to me, it was just like, oh, there's the Nintendo, there's the Genesis, and there's the PlayStation. And then, you know, as
yeah,
you
that was your world.
Lineage is there. But like, I didn't know about the fucking like Amiga. I didn't know about the ColecoVision or Intellivision
or any
whatever.
Of
that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Commodore 64 was my first system I ever had.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah.
So you knew about that one.
My dad had a Commodore 64. Shout out to Jumpman. Shout out to James
Heck
Bond,
yes.
Diamonds Are Forever. You know what I mean?
Heck yes.
Horrible fucking games. God. But they just prove how video games are cool, you know?
Yeah.
All it took was like, I'm doing something that's making them do something. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Centipede.
Yeah, I was thinking about that if your world was Nintendo, even though Sega was out at the time, you probably didn't know a lot of games in there. And so when an issue like EGM had come out then, you'd be like, oh, wow, I really should play Genesis or whatever.
Well, that was the thing. Is like,
and hop in and play this
Kevin's
stuff.
Cousin had a Genesis. So we went over to his house one time. And by that point, even like Sonic 3 had already been out. So like we were... You know,
you're
that's
swimming
the funniest thing
in
is like we're swimming
too.
In games.
Yeah.
But like all of a sudden I was introduced to Sonic and I didn't know what the fuck it was, but it looked so much better than Mario.
Yeah.
It didn't play as well.
Yeah.
But it looked better.
It looked cool.
Was
it
like,
was so fast.
This little hedgehog's fucking cool.
Blast process.
Man, I wonder if in 20 years they're going to make a movie about him, you know?
And oh 20 God, years later, it's the best movie.
Hard cut.
I just want to shout out, I think for me it was Super Mario All-Stars and probably Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
DKC?
Yeah.
Oh, KC. Yeah. Those are, man, those
the
are
The SNES
memories.
Was like my first Nintendo console I remember
that
having.
That is the superior Donkey Kong, Barrett. Donkey Kong Country.
Oh. Nope.
Wow.
That is a fact on fact. But I've, again, told this story a million times, but the Super Nintendo was the first console I owned. The Nintendo Kevin had at his house, and technically it was his sister's, but like the Super Nintendo was my first console. I got it in like 97, so it was really late, or 96 probably.
Yeah.
But at that point.
Do you
point,
remember if N64 was out when you got it?
Yes, it was.
So it would have been after 96.
At the time I got it, it was Mario Maker, or sorry, not Mario Maker, Mario 64. I had played at Toys R Us on the kiosk.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So maybe around that time.
But I got 96. The Super Nintendo that came with Super Mario All-Stars Plus World. And it's like, all of a sudden, I'm like, that is just the greatest single cart of all
time. It's really good.
It was like the first HD remaster. And it was just fucking amazing. All the Mario games.
That pack was amazing, actually.
Can you imagine playing Mario, all the Marios at once, and then just, that's just how you're introduced to Mario?
Dude, it was the best.
You get all of them.
It was so fucking cool.
Endless content, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you were fortunate getting into Nintendo, is what I would say. Obviously, when it comes to PlayStation, you know, N64, you had to do the grind like everybody else. But it is interesting
Not
like,
really, because that's the thing. Again, because of the timing going in, I was pretty late. Like
you were still late on some of that stuff, huh?
At other people's houses.
All right, what's the first system then that you started playing at the beginning?
The first system
that I bought
the day it came out was GameCube.
Okay, so that was your first one where you're like waiting. You're like, geez,
PS2 a year late.
Yeah.
GameCube was, I was there November 18th. Let's fucking go, baby. 2001. Never forget.
GCN.
Hell yeah. Let's then I had to wait 12 more days to get Smash Melee.
Oh, you
couldn't
was that,
just rush it out for launch, guys.
Dude, I was playing it because the Japanese version came out quite a bit earlier, so I just remember playing it a ton because it had an English setting in the, you know, the Japanese version, so I was set at the office, but...
Yeah.
Man, but that was,
I was 10.
Like the difference between, yeah, the difference. Wow, that's crazy.
Wait, what year is this?
2001. I was 11.
Wow.
I was okay. Six.
Wow, yeah. Man. Bunch of babies.
Yeah.
I was a baby
was
too so, at
that
IGN.
That was my first
though,
console,
yeah,
though. That I bought like day one.
Nice.
So exciting stuff. First console I bought with my own money, PlayStation Portable.
Oh.
Let's close it out. You know what I mean? It's time to squad up.
Yeah.
Anthony Ragucci writes in. He's on Xbox One. His name's the Red Wolf Crusader. Hey, folks, looking to squad up over on Xbox One with Fallout 76. Hopefully some of the best friends are maybe still playing. I'm trying to finish the main quest. I am become death and wrap up the final achievements I need. I also suck at this game for some reason, and any general tips with gear and weapons as well as leveling would be awesome. Thanks, Fran and Tim. You're welcome, Anthony Ragucci. Mm-hmm. Go help him out. Red Wolf Crusader. On Xbox One.
Yeah, I thought it was good only because, like, it is a game like Fallout 76, maybe a little harder to find folks and come together, best friends, help them out, especially when you're needing a game like that. Like I said, it's a weird, weird online game. So
it's time for your wrong.
Yeah.
Let's go in there, see what is going on.
Hold on. I'll check this link, Tim, if you want to look at something else.
Okay, I'm sure.
Just to be sure. It looks like a real link.
Malcontent Ronin says, from the guy who still has a Wii U hooked up to play Mario Maker, the console version absolutely had the 100 Mario Challenge and ton of official event courses. So there was a name. The 3DS had a different campaign thing that is different than what you're talking about.
Gotcha.
I did say it was 100 Man. I'm wrong about that. But the 3DS one had something that is way more of an actual campaign.
Interesting.
As opposed to just courses.
Random levels.
That were just randomly given to you. Much more thought was put in the 3DS one, and I would say those are some of the best Mario levels I've ever played.
Cool.
And I hope we get more of that in two.
Actually, coming in from Error Can't Be Shown, I was asking, when is the raid available for Division 2? The official website does say May 16th at our time. It would be 9 a.m. Pacific time on May 16th. Ooh, we're going to have to talk about the show. On Thursday. But let's see what else. I did click that link. There's just a little news. Maybe it's more for tomorrow, but Starbreeze is selling off some of their assets, trying to stay in business. Ooh. We reported on it, but apparently Rockstar bought up an art production studio that they had owned. So they're selling stuff off, trying to stay alive.
Cash says Red Dead Online is out of beta today.
Yeah, I mentioned that one. Okay. Yep, that's all right.
And that's it.
We did
Otherwise,
pretty good.
We're right.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. This is a fun little show, Fran.
It was, man. It's always fun being on with you.
Yeah. Tomorrow, me and Witta. Thursday, Fran and me. Probably. We'll see. Friday, Greg and Andrea. Until next time, I love you.
Bye, best friends.